Hello, I'm Jonathan Mast, and welcome back to the Sedgwick Wellness Center for Sedgwick Virtual REMS Week. And next up, we have Kimberly George, and I'm just going to turn it over to Kimberly and talk about her topic and who she is. She didn't really need an introduction, but thanks, Kimberly.
Thanks, Jonathan, for having me. And thanks to everybody that's joining Sedgwick this week for our virtual REMS. I know we'd rather be nowhere else than Denver. Certainly not quarantining and staying at home, but hopefully you're all doing your part to help flatten the curve. When I chose the topic, bouncing back from resiliency, it wasn't because of the pandemic, nor because of COVID-19. It's because when I think about resilience, I think about it from the perspective of our business, our individual performance, and our team performance. But never before has resilience mattered so much to us personally, to us professionally, and certainly to our businesses and the communities with which we live. So I hope you enjoy this discussion. There's certainly a lot to resilience. It's complex and multifaceted. But I'll give you an overview of resilience when we think about it from a personal perspective, from a leadership perspective, and why you too might want to consider resilience as an important strategic project and program for you and your colleagues. So stress and emotional health is really impacted regarding because of our resilience, right? If we are very stressed and we get depressed, or we're stressed and we focus on that, we have lower resilience than others. And resilience is really important to our physical and our emotional health. How we bounce back from setbacks, that's resilience. And resilience is innate. There is a neural circuitry that science has proven relates to resilience. So although it's innate, and some of us may have been born and grew up creating resilience at a higher perspective than others, meaning that we have more resilience. Resilience can be learned. Resilience can be developed over time. And actually, even those with high levels of resilience should be self-reflective and evaluate their own resilience so that they too can become more resilient and therefore a better leader, a better teammate, a better friend, a better spouse and parent, whatever our roles are. So how do we deal with disappointing news, maybe a sales initiative that didn't go quite right, a product launch that wasn't as successful as we wanted it to be, a relationship challenge, maybe even disappointment with a performance review? Those are those times, and I'm sure you're able to think of those too, that our resilience really matters. And now, more than ever, with quarantine, with COVID-19, a global pandemic, there's fear, there's uncertainty. The economic impact is everywhere. The changes in our routine, the ability to balance work and our family life, social isolation, and not knowing what's next. We should all be thinking about our resilience now, and we can work on resilience. I'll share with you before this talk ends some ways in which I and others and organizations and trainers really develop resilience. And it's an ongoing effort, I know, in my life and certainly in others. So when we think about resilience, not just because of all the areas I've shared previously, but it's also the future of work. When we think of all the technology that will enable us both today and into the future for our jobs, technology doesn't have the human skills that we need. And in risk management, workers' compensation, property and casualty, the ability to connect with others, to be empathetic, to be understood, to listen well, all of those skills matter even more as we become a much more tech-enabled company and industry and across the globe. So human relationships really matter, and resilience is at the heart of that. when we think about training and what we want people to achieve with increased resilience, and we put that in the context of work, oftentimes it's how one manages their feelings within their team. Maybe they've had a call that really set them off, hurt their feelings, made them question themselves. Problem-solving skills, because we want our organizations to be agile and problem solvers and to be able to bounce back from whatever they're faced with. And certainly as we think from coming back and out of this pandemic and getting our businesses and our products and our organizations back to full functioning and full productivity, these are all skills that matter in a significant way. Positive attitude is also one of the benefits out of resiliency. There's less absenteeism with people who are resilient. They're more satisfied in their job, and so therefore there's less turnover. There's also, when organizations measure resilience factors, there's better health. And that's measured by well-being factors that resilience experts, consultants, and organizations study and are very good at measuring an organization's resilience. Other things that are measured in that consideration are, I mentioned well-being, it's engagement, engagement around how the employees are engaging at work. That ties to productivity, it ties to the engagement factors that are important for an organization. And if you were measuring engagement, you would work with those helping you determine what are the engagement factors important to your organization. They measure stress across the organization and also motivation. They're able to then predict what type of challenges your organization would have based on resiliency factors. And so who helps with that? I know that may be some of your question, and I've spent a lot of time with organizations and individuals who support development of resiliency across businesses, business units, divisions, and across teams as well as individuals. So there are consultants that do that. Your HR organizations may have some really good resources for that as well. There's also an organization called the Center for Workplace Mental Health, and they too have information on resiliency. I probably already mentioned, but I'll say it again, there's consultants and trainers that focus on resiliency. And there's an organization that I actually had in a RIMS Wellness Center a few years ago called Meequilibrium. And Meequilibrium works with many employers across America, and their whole focus is on the science of resilience and improving resiliency across teams and companies and down to the individual level. What are some of the benefits that these organizations have experienced that have focused on resiliency? Here are a few. And if I was to name one, I would say, I think the emotional intelligence of the group and individuals increases. And when people are more aware of their EQ or emotional intelligence, when they have a better understanding of their triggers, where triggers actually drop the emotional intelligence and therefore we don't get the best out of the employee, then if emotional intelligence increases, the whole team does so much better. And so amongst those sort of skill sets, if you will, that improve are, as I mentioned, emotional intelligence. You see greater empathy and connections. When people have social connections at work, they're much more productive, they're much more happy, and they oftentimes have much more self-confidence. They feel part of the team, they feel included, and that their voice matters. And their performance overall then increases. So when we think about those areas that need to be trained on, I mentioned that there's oftentimes a assessment that is done to measure an organization's resilience. Some of the things that come out of the training besides emotional intelligence are communication skills, listening, empathy, transparency, And believe it or not, sleep management. Many of us in healthcare think of sleep now as the fifth vital sign. It's a very important to our overall health and well-being. So sleep management is a really good indicator of the health of an organization and also an opportunity to improve resilience. Also, stress management. Many of you know Sedgwick has, I personally, as well as the organization, have many times mentioned the app Calm. That's an example of deploying a stress management type tool. There are others as well, but mindfulness, meditation, and awareness of stress and stress management is oftentimes part of the training. And again, managing emotions, because if we can better control our emotions, we're able to better respond and be more resilient. Step back and think about what just happened. Organize our thoughts and our responses and our emotions, and we'll be much more resilient and effective in the environment and with the challenge that we're faced with. So as I sort of move on to, before I move on to the next topic, think about this. Do you want to be the one that's overwhelmed by the challenge, or do you want to be the one that's gracefully navigating through tough times? And when we think about the strongest of leaders, leaders and organizations that have set a culture of caring, leaders of organizations that believe in autonomy, inclusion, and self-performance as well as team, those leaders tend to have the power of positivity. People that are stronger in resilience tend to be viewed as positive people, not the naysayers. You can disagree. You can have differing opinions, but it's how you approach that and then how others feel that they can trust you and engage with you. So the power of positivity also leads right into influence. People that have stronger resilience are more calm, they manage their stress, they have higher emotional intelligence, and through that, they then have a much better opportunity to influence others. And that's important whether we're a risk manager or we're a claims adjuster, and all of the jobs that are in our industry. Leaders with strong resilience, the leaders that you and I are thinking about when we say that person's a strong leader, also are very self-aware. They're able to get out of their own way, not take things personally, and really assess what's being said. Low resilience and low emotional intelligence are when somebody thinks what's happening is all about them, and rarely is it. And finally, I will say that our strongest leaders that have great resilience also have a level of objectivity. They're able to look at the multifaceted, complex situations with which they're faced, take a step back, and objectively consider what should come next. What are the options? They're good listeners as well. So now let's move on to what you could do to improve your own resilience. And there are apps, there are trainers, there are consultants, obviously out there in the industry. But if you wanted to say, how can I improve my resiliency? I have a few tips. These are five that I personally use, and I know many of you may do that as well. There's no particular order. There's many more of these out and about that you can research and find. I just personally find these five really meaningful to my life, and I'm hopeful that you will as well. One is to change the narrative. If you are consistently feeling down with certain situations or in general feel that your resilience is low, I do expressive writing. That's how I change the narrative. My mind may be telling me one thing, but as I write and as I allow myself to share those thoughts in paper that are just for me, and then reflect on what probably the reality is, it really resets, allows me to review the situation. And frankly, a day or two or even minutes or hours later, I feel so much better. And realize that it was my narrative, not that situation, that resulted in my reaction. And for me, writing has been very cathartic and a part of my life for a long time. So I find that in a resilient situation, that writing is very helpful. The other I would say is that if we want to be more self-aware, which is a strength of people that are resilient, we must have self-compassion. And that takes some self-discovery. We need to be more reflective. And it's okay if our emotions are so overwhelmed that we can't do that. Maybe first you'd start with some expressive writing. And as you become more aware, I think the self-compassion can come. We oftentimes are harder on ourselves than anybody else ever could be to us. And so this idea of self-compassion isn't to not take responsibility, but rather to allow ourselves the time and the effort that we should give ourselves to better understand why and how and what happened to lower our resiliency. Nurture yourself a bit more. Next, I would say, if change is something that bothers you, and not just COVID-19 and the pandemic and this stay-at-home time, but if change is difficult, change in managers, change in clients, change in policy, then work through change management and know your boundaries, because change is inevitable. And in this day and age, change happens faster and more frequently than ever before. So work on change management and know what triggers you through that and how you can be a team player and make sure that that change is successful. Next, I'll say goals. Goals are really important. Stretch goals, reasonable goals. Goals help us build resilience. They help us understand that we may have setbacks, and we also have some great gains. And so goals, personally and professionally, help us with where our weaknesses are if we're willing to set goals to work on those. And then to reflect, as I mentioned above or previously, and to overall help us better understand what was keeping us from being the most resilient we could be. So goals. And then finally, I'll say connections. Seek out those who will be honest with you. Your best friends will tell you you did a great job. Your best friends will tell you they're so proud of you. And that's important. But when we think about resilience and growing, whether we're a leader and we're thinking about our team or ourselves individual, it's that objective feedback that comes from a place of caring that's authentic and real that matters most to our growth. And mentors and supporters, sponsors can be found in places you'd never imagine. If you ask somebody for feedback, they most likely will give you very caring and real feedback that will help you grow. But you have to make authentic connections in order for that to happen. So be willing to work on that and grow your connections. And finally, I would say resilience matters to all of us. This time of COVID and the pandemic have been really challenging. And I know we've had to dig deep to find our resiliency on days. But now more than ever, let's bounce back from resiliency. Enjoy this week Sedgwick's bringing you with our virtual RIMS. And I can't wait to see you all at RIMS 2021. Thanks for joining us today.
Great job, Kimberly. We got a couple of questions from the audience. I think number one, a couple of questions about, this sounds great, but how, if my organization's resistant to trying to create a, you know, the resiliency, the training, you know, any tips on how to persuade or, you know, get them to open the doors? Because certainly this is great stuff, but some people may still find it a little, you know, too soft for them.
Yeah, that's great. You know, Jonathan, I think that there are probably fewer organizations that take resiliency and caring and sort of lifting up employees fewer than I would like across the country. That's real. And the reason that I would say I would like is because we're trying to break down stigma of mental health and really build up the well-being of our workforce. And so resilience is absolutely key to that. But if I were a manager of a department, if I were a team of 2 or 10, I could have resiliency as a core to my team meetings. We could share how we individually work towards resiliency. We could share a book to read and then reflect on resiliency. We could describe times where our resiliency was high and times where our resiliency was low. Maybe we're taking on a new project as a team, and so we want to talk about resiliency ahead of the project launching so that we can be more reflective throughout the process and identify some of those areas where maybe low resiliency is impacting us. So those are just a few at top of mind. I hope it helps.
And then this one is from just an individual, you know, struggles with self-esteem, and you mentioned a couple of apps. Could you repeat those again, or maybe your 2 or 3 favorite apps to help with daily reminders and another place they can turn for positive reinforcement?
Yeah, I would say that most all of us have an HR program, meaning an HR benefits model that has an app that is inclusive in that, whether it's through EAP, whether it's through the group health insurer, and it's oftentimes on your portal. So I mention that just because that is oftentimes available without a fee. Another one, though, that I will mention is Calm. And Calm is available to help with daily reminders, with nudges, gives a lot of good meditation opportunities, mindfulness opportunities to engage. And so I think Calm is one that certainly I hear wonderful feedback on. But if those don't work for you, Google mindfulness, Google resilience, and you will see there are a number of them out there.
All right. Well, I know more questions, and maybe we'll follow this up with a blog and some other things in the near future. But thanks, Kimberly. And we want to remind all our viewers to continue to look around the Sedgwick Virtual RIMS Week resource page, and more sessions out there. One on sleep that Dr. Bartlett brought. You mentioned sleep. Buell talked about exercise and eating right, and these all tie together, right, Kimberly?
They do. They all are part of resilience. That's why in the beginning I said it's broad and complex, but it's important that we think of all of those components when addressing resilience.
Great. Have a great day. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. Take care, everybody.